everyone. Thanks for tuning in to UMBC's Mic'd Up podcast. My name is Denise Cardona from the Office of Professional Programs. And today I am joined by Harrison DeFord, a current student in the GES Master's Program at UMBC. And he is taking some courses in the GIS Master's Program as well. He did graduate in 2022 with his undergrad in geography. So it's so wonderful to have you here, Harrison. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Denise. Absolutely. It's good to be here. Yeah. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Awesome. It's nice to meet a fellow retriever. I graduated in 23 with a master's. It's really great to be here with a fellow retriever.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about GIS.
Okay.
I'd love to know what you are most excited about when it comes to advancing your education in that whole sphere, the geography, GIS landscape.
Yeah. People always ask, why do you do GIS? Like, why geography? All that. And it really boils down to, you can see on the wall behind me, I've got a map hanging right now. People just like looking at maps, and I'm no different, right? You like looking at maps. The next logical step is you just make the maps. That's honestly, like, in my career, in my learnings, whatever, the biggest motivator for me is that I just think it's fun. It's very cool. So I'm excited to go even further and learn more new skills that I can use to look at more maps.
I love that. And the reason I love that is because, so I'm married to a geography person. He majored in it as well. And we used to take these road trips. We'd go cross country and we'd have now this was way before GPS ever existed, before Waze and Google Maps. We didn't have any of that technology. I don't even think we had cell phones. So we just hit the open road and we had this big atlas. I don't know if you remember if they even sell them anymore, but the road atlas that was just this ginormous thing that you'd open up. And I just learned how to be the navigator, and I loved using that atlas. And I actually miss it because I don't use it anymore. Obviously we have GPS now and things of that sort, but it's a good skill to have. If you don't have internet and you don't have access to Wi-Fi or 5G or 4G, wherever you are in the world, being able to learn how to read a map is really important to be able to navigate the world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Over the summers, I'm a backpacking guide out west. And so one of the things I have to do is actually teach scouts, 14 to 18 year old people and their parents, how to read a map. And so when I came into the GES program, Geography and Environmental Systems, I thought, oh yeah, I want to be a park ranger or a forester or something of the type. And because that was my interest. I like hiking around. I like looking at rocks and trees and birds and all that stuff. And then I took a couple years of GES classes at UMBC. And I took my first GIS class, right? My first maps class. And I was like, nope, that's what I want to do. I really do think that skill of reading a map translates very well to what UMBC has to offer.
That's great. Now, what is it that you want to do? You mentioned after you took some of these courses as an undergrad, it shone a spotlight, if you will, on what you wanted to do. What exactly is, for those who are listening in, who may have no concept of what GIS or GES is, can you explain it in your own words, what it is and why people should be so excited about it?
Yeah, absolutely. GIS, it stands for Geographic Information Systems. And that's three words that have a lot of meaning. But it's hard to convey in just three words. So GIS can be anything from navigation, right? Google Maps, Waze, we've all used them. It can be policy decisions, right? So we look at where people live that fill different demographic groups or that fill different niches or people who might need more help or who are disadvantaged in one way or another. You can use it for transportation to see here's where the buses and the trains should go. All kinds of things. So it's really broad. Personally, I really like the human side of it. So you've got the environmental stuff. You can look at elevation gradients and you can look at hydrology and you can look at land cover and land usage and all that stuff. And everything has a geographic component. But I'm really interested in the people and the places that they live, they work, they exist together.
And it's interesting you say that because I think the average person, myself included, when we think of geographic information systems or geographical environment, what does GES stand for again before I go on?
GES is Geographic and Environmental Studies or Geographic Environmental Systems. GIS is Geographic Information Systems.
Okay. Or when we think about GES, think about it's just maps, right? It's learning, they map things out, maybe for society, for just the general good use of land and things of that sort. But bringing in that human element as well, that is something that is interesting, because I don't think that's the first thing people think about. And what about that part are you most excited to just tap into and be able to go out there and make a difference in the world through this knowledge you're about to gain?
Yeah. So after my undergrad, and hopefully while I pursue my master's, I'm working for Baltimore County Government in the BC Stat Team, which is under the executive office. And so a lot of my maps actually do go into usage for policy decisions. So I've done stuff looking at animal, for example, stray animal pickups, calls for service. We analyze where all of the stray animals are picked up, whether that's cats or dogs or deer or birds or any animal that's picked up by animal services. And we look at how we can more effectively either prevent that from happening again with a trap, neuter, return program, TNR, where the most efficient shelter to deliver them to is the best way to keep them out of the shelter so they can bring in new animals. I've also worked on the food pantry locator, which was just released a couple weeks ago, so that any member of the public can go to the website, click on their address, and it'll show them what food pantries are nearby. I think that really the public sector is where you have the biggest impact on the most number of people. So using geographic information to drive these public projects, really, I think, is where I hope to take the courses that I'm learning.
Yeah, absolutely. This sounds like there's a great opportunity to make a big difference in the society, in the world at large. Have you considered how AI may affect the future of what you're doing with GIS and GES?
Yeah. You can ask ChatGPT right now to write you a Python script that'll generate a map, but that Python script will not work the first time or the fifth time or the 10th time. You're always going to have to go in and tweak it. So in terms of a career, future job stability, I'm not worried about that part. One thing that I do think that AI will do is help with data collection. As people use AI more, everything has a spatial component. As people use AI, you can see where people are using it. You can see what people are querying from it. And a lot of the stuff that you think of nowadays as AI super advanced was put into place by companies like Uber, because everything that Uber does has a spatial component, right? They got to know where their cars are. They have to know where the restaurant they're picking up the food is, all that. AI has really blown up since ChatGPT went live and people could use it. But even before that, AI has been artificial intelligence, meaning machine learning models and stuff like that have been in place in geospatial for a long time. So I'm sure there will be advancements, but I don't think that they'll happen so fast that it'll drastically change the field.
Yeah. And I think hopefully, I'm hoping, being idealistic here, that there'll always be the need for the human component part of it. So AI may be able to do a tremendous amount of things. As for me, as a marketing person, as a video producer, as an instructional designer, I wear a few different hats. I can use ChatGPT to create all sorts of wonderful things for me. But there's always that human component. There's at this point, at this stage of its evolution, I know, like, I can look at it and say, it's not quite what the audience needs, or it's not quite what I had in mind. It's not writing these objectives the way I need them to. So at this point, there's no fear, but maybe in the future, I think as society, we're going to have to learn how to engage with it and work almost partnership with it, because it seems like that's where it's headed. And it's exciting, though. I think that the person who embraces that, I think, will come ahead, because I feel like if you're not embracing that AI, at least in the future, you could really find yourself maybe behind the mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I took a class sometime in 22. I don't remember if it was spring or fall semester, but when Mr. Ron Wilson, and the class was called Just Maps, where just refers to justice, maps that accurately show what you want to show. There's a very popular book among GIS people called How to Lie with Maps, or How to Lie Effectively with Maps. And the whole point is that you can use color schemes, you can use legend breaks, you can use all kinds of stuff to show the same data in a lot of different ways, right? Mm-hmm. So you can leave it as point data. You can show where every single incidence of, for example, a 311 report is, or you can aggregate it by neighborhoods or by the city as a whole or the county or whatever level you want to aggregate it at. And each one of those shows a different connotation. So if you show points on cluster, you can see really small hotspots. If you show it as the city, though, that's not super useful to somebody who wants to see what their neighborhood looks like. And I think that's one thing that AI, like you said, that human element of someone has to make these decisions of what story are we trying to tell or what are we trying to showcase with our maps and our cartography.
And really, you just hit the nail on the head. It tells a story. Data tells a story. And I think as data people, it's important to have that ethical consideration behind the work that is done, because there are many implications that can be positive or the flip side of that if someone's not keeping a careful eye on that and presenting the data in a way that is ethical and truthful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with UMBC, why did you decide to pursue your master's?
It circles back to what I was saying. I just like to learn. I've made a lot of good relationships, specifically UMBC. There's a lot of places I could have gone and got my master's, but I picked to go back to UMBC after my undergrad just because of the relationships that I have with so many of the professors. Dr. Mahmoudi, Dr. Fagan, Mr. Wilson, Dr. Kaler, so many professors that have just been such a good influence in my studies and really understand my ideologies when it comes to GIS and environmental science as a whole. I really don't think, I looked at a couple other schools and I couldn't find anything that really matched the priorities of the program here at UMBC.
That's great to know. And one last question about I know that prospective students considering a graduate program, they may be concerned about what the peer-to-peer interaction is like. Now, you've taken some just maps and things of that, some courses in GIS here at UMBC. What was that peer-to-peer interaction like? Did it help? Did it promote your learning? What was that experience?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I work best by myself, especially on projects and stuff like that. So for me, it probably wasn't as big of an influence as it was for others. That being said, I did proctor for Dr. Kaler for 386. And just being in the room while other students were working together, especially in a class that I'd already taken, was really eye-opening to me. Because especially as a proctor, sometimes you just want to sit in there and do your homework or whatever, get your own stuff done and make sure that nobody breaks a computer. But it was really cool to see people try and talk out solutions to problems and stuff like that before they'd come talk to me to try and, or to see what my thoughts on an issue were. So I definitely think that culture's there if you want it. I never felt like in any of my classes I was forced into being in a group or interacting when I didn't want to, when I felt I could do the work on my own. But yeah, I do feel like that culture is there, and the professors definitely promote it. They'll tell you, like, on labs and stuff, as long as you're not like copying each other's answers, please work together. Bring up tables, computers next to each other and discuss.
Yeah, that collaborative learning. You learn so much from each other because you might have one little element that is missing from somebody else's brain and vice versa. And sometimes it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I lied. I do have one more question for you. So my question is, what are you most excited about once you complete your coursework here in the GIS program?
So once I've hopefully graduated, completed the coursework that I'm taking in the UMBC GES program, the GIS certificate, I hope to be able to expand the skills that I learned. So you'll learn stuff that's spatial statistics or even stuff as simple as here's a buffer and then an intersection of a polygon. But once you get that foundation, you can expand it to all kinds of different skills. So I find myself super interested in mobility. So I hope to use the skills that I learned from the UMBC GES program to look at transit or scooters or bike share programs or even sidewalks and connectivity of neighborhoods and networks. That's, I think, probably the domain that I hope to most expand and that I'm most excited to expand to in the future. But yeah, I think probably mobility, transit, and just equality in those scenarios.
Wow, that's great. That's a great thing to shoot for. I wish you much success with that. You're going to do great. I can see you're very excited about this. And that's half the battle right there, is having that motivation behind you to want to do a great thing in the world. And yeah, kudos and good luck with that. I know you'll have great success.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this episode of UMBC's Mic'd Up Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our offerings, do a search for UMBC GIS Master's Program or even GES Master's Program, or simply click the link in the description.